0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we close in on a huge weekend for Scotland and the World Cup qualification hopes. The goalkeeping issue should be seen as an opportunity rather than a conundrum, according to assistant manager Stephen Naismith. Wilfred Nancy's asked about Celtic for the first time, but he's not giving much away. And there will be alcohol sold at a Premiership game in Scotland for the first time since the early 80s. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight we have Gordon DL, and back from who knows where, 15 months or so since he was last in this show, Kenny Miller. How are you? Where have you been? What has been going on?
Been everywhere. Been Abu Dhabi, been Atlanta, and now back in Glasgow. And missed the show. Delighted to be back in what has been a crazy month in Scottish football.
You just upped and left one day. You used to be here regularly. You were you wanted to beat the Pundit Kings. Gone.
Yeah. Do you know what we can do tonight? We can sit back and relax. All the phone calls come in from Celtic supporters, MLS.
Wilfred Nant, he knows it all.
American correspondent Kenny Miller.
He's got a wee American accent. If you listen close,
Flew in as well. Flew in especially for the MLS contact as well.
I says to him, "What are you doing?" I just had some French fries.
He's walking down the sidewalk when I came in here. Yeah. Unbelievable. Good to have you back.
Are you well? Great to be back. Yeah, great. It's good to be back. No missing the Scottish weather. Mm. It's been horrible this last week, but it's good to be back.
See, to his credit, I would occasionally get the message going, missing Super Scoreboard. Oh, I bet that's lively. Bet that's lively tonight.
Not a thing.
No, that's what I'm saying. To his credit, he would occasionally check in and...
Well, he said something to me running outside there just 2 minutes ago, and I thought, he's been watching the programme. Well done to him.
Well, it was Gordon just told me. Okay, Ross McCormack.
But anyway, yeah, it's good to have Kenny back. Gordon DL, I suppose it's fine to see him as well. 0141 951 1025. Get your calls in, whatever it is that's on your mind tonight. There is loads going. Maybe we'll tease any information or knowledge, I should say, that Kenny has of Wilfred Nancy and the MLS. We can get that, I'm sure, at some point. We are now just 2 days away from those massive Scotland games. So what are you thinking? We've actually stuck a poll up on our Twitter feed at Clyde SSB, because it feels like the biggest, most burning issue for Steve Clark: who plays in goals? So we've stuck it up there. We're going to allow democracy to have its say. We'll have our say. We want you to have yours on the phone. Craig Gordon, 42 years of age, no played in 6 months. Scott Bain, no cap in 6 years, back in the top flight with Falkirk. Or Liam Kelly, second choice at Rangers. That is your full list of options. It is clearly not ideal, but one of them has to play. Who should it be? Give us your calls right now. We'll have a good old Barney about that between now and 8 o'clock. As we said, Celtic fans, the managerial situation is just going on and on until such times as you get one. So again, 0141 951 1025, and anything else at all, you know where we are. There's a few other interesting stories doing the rounds. Of course, it was revealed last night that Hampden will host some games in Euro 2028. I don't know if that's good news or some people prefer to go and travel. There's an interesting story developing today that Aberdeen have been granted an alcohol licence for a game against Kilmarnock at Pittodrie. So clearly a bit of a sort of trial thing, but first time in 45 years a top flight game has the luxury of that. So if you've any thoughts there, I'm sure the guys would be willing to give their opinions as well. 0141 951 1025. So how's it been football wise? It was one of the great, I don't know, surprises maybe, but when people found out that you were off to be Ronnie Dyler's assistant, people would never have put you two together, I don't think. You didn't have a prior relationship here, did you? Did it just come about and you went to Abu Dhabi and then Atlanta?
Yeah, that's it. It was I mean, obviously played against his team for that couple of years. It was at Celtic. Always, it's just a networking thing. It's a connection through agents, through people you know. We actually went down and met him prior to going out to Abu Dhabi, actually. We never knew we were going out there, but I went down and watched the Chelsea-Tottenham game, I think it was. It was at Stamford Bridge. Went down, met him, watched the game there. And again, just kept in touch. And when the opportunity came up, we had asked my agent, Dave, if I would fancy it. And that was it. Rest history. I've been at Abu Dhabi, had a good spell there for 6 months, went to Atlanta and had no so good spell over the course of the season. It was a tough year, but again, it was an experience. Again, for the last 18 months, getting back into the game, which is obviously, as you know, I wanted to do, which was great to get in with someone who's got the experience, he's got the success that he's had pretty much everywhere he's been. So it's been an interesting 18 months.
How was it? How was it to work with? What was the working relationship like?
No, really good. I mean, he's a very, very good coach for a start. I mean, still, I think he was actually 50 just there in September, and he's still so hands-on. Loves coaching. I think he always has done from a young age, even when he was still playing. He was doing a lot of coaching with teams and I suppose we can call it academy teams. It wouldn't be academy teams back then, but he's been coaching for a long, long time. Loves it. Really hands-on, loves being on the training field, so it was really good to work. Good learning curve for me as well, obviously, with the ambitions that I've got in the game as well.
What was Atlanta like? Because, I mean, I think people have probably seen the stadium. Is it still Mercedes-Benz? I mean, it looks absolutely out of this world. And then I think over here, we're maybe not quite sure what the level's like in the MLS, but Messi plays there. How was that as a football experience?
I mean, it's different. It's a different experience. I mean, firstly, Atlanta, I mean, the setup, the stadium, the training ground are second to none. You know, there's no expense spared in making sure the pitches are right. The stadium is obviously, I mean, it's an Astro stadium, but the stadium, I think it was a $2 billion stadium. It's incredible. It's the Falcons, Atlanta Falcons stadium there. So it's a special, special arena to like to play in. Training ground's exceptional. The league in itself, there's so many good players. You know, you've named a few. In Miami, it was one of our last games, actually, against Miami with Busquets playing. It was Alba's second or third last game. He's retiring. Messi, Suarez, obviously the superstars in that team. But Suns just obviously went out as well to tell Ryan Portis actually plays in his team.
That's right, LA.
He's went out there to LA, so had a good chat with him. He absolutely loves it out there as well. Travelling takes its toll. It's obviously different when you're getting on and off planes pretty much for every away game. So that's got its own challenges. But being a player, and I was there as a player, you know, so I already kind of knew
that.
When you're not a player, it's pretty easy with the travelling. You know, you get on, you're not having to worry about playing the game, the physical aspect of it. So it was a great experience. It really was. Glad to be back. Definitely glad to be back. And we'll see what the future holds.
Try to think of what that come down must be like. I mean, I like you, and I think we have a good time here. But you've gone from trying to pit your wits against Lionel Messi to pitting your wits against you on the full time teaser. Do you know what I mean? It feels like a bit of a come down. No offense.
May I even beat the pundit? You know.
Oh, don't talk about that tonight. I'm nervous.
He mentioned it. As Kenny quite rightly says, those opportunities don't come up too often, and to go and coach against some of the greatest players in the world must be fantastic.
Please tell me, in your role as a coach, you put on an analysis which had Messi weaknesses in it. Tell me what they were.
Come on. Absolutely was not my job to do that.
Aye.
Yeah.
Is he still,
you know, it's funny because, like,
he's no good in the
air. He's definitely, or his right foot, never uses his right, does he? It's one of them where, like, you look at them and they're so good. I would rather a game against Messi, Suarez and co than play and face and beat the pundit tonight, that's for sure.
Was he still outrageous?
He's a joke. He really is. Yeah, he's still, I thought, was he 38 now? But his speed over that kind of 10 yards, the accelerations he's got are there. His ability, again, it's just out of the world. His way to pass, his vision to play the pass, the execution at the timing, his finishing is... I mean, we played the third or fourth game in at home, and we've started 20 minutes worth dominating, because as much as they're superstars, they don't work the hardest.
Right.
So you've got a wee bit of opportunity to kind of get an advantage there, particularly in transitions. And we were flying. We're actually dominating the game. Scored 1-0. We actually scored to go 2-0. Just, it was a fraction offside. And then within a minute of that, we lost the ball with our number 6, 22 yards out, right in the centre, top of the box. And who was the man that nicked it? Well, Messi gets it. Goes round the player who sits him down. He's tried to slide because he's faked shot. Goes round, keeper runs out, dinks it over on 1-1.
Did you applaud?
And he's the only player in the league that would have finished like that. You know, so he's still out of this world for me. And again, this, you took yourself out of it. Being a coach, it was a joy to watch.
Now, I don't know if people think you guys are all like this, but you're probably not, to be fair. You were, though, so immersed in Scottish football when you were here. You know, you kind of... always in about it in the debate and knowing what was going on. what have you made of it from a distance over the last 18 months? Because I don't know if you've heard, but quite a lot. Do you know Brendan Rodgers, now the Celtic manager?
Is that right? Yeah.
You know Rangers have had about three managers since you left, etc. You've managed to keep an eye on the madness.
Ish. Been trying to keep your finger on the pulse as much as possible. I mean, it's hard, obviously, all jokes aside, not to see what's going on with Old Firm. We always kind of made a point of kind of seeing the games.
Did you and Ronnie Dyla watch an Old Firm game together?
See, the thing is, it's a 12:30 kickoff normally, and that's 7:30 in the morning, 7:00. So I'd be waking up to watch it. So I always kind of had my finger on the pulse with what was going on, Old Firm wise. Again, I think it was the first time in history it's ever been that the two managers have left, was it before 10 games, which is incredible.
I think it's the first time they've ever changed mid-season, both of them in the same season.
There you go. Well, it just shows you how kind of rare it is and where actually both teams are at the moment in time, you know. So I have kind of been keeping my finger on the pulse, seeing how Hearts have been kind of developing. Obviously Dale's coming in at the start of the season, had a good impact. I'm really intrigued to see how this goes with Hearts, with Tony Bloom factor, the way they identify players, and he just seems to have had success everywhere he's been. And however he does it, he gets players for the level who come in and perform pretty much straight away, and we've potentially got a three horse well, at the moment maybe only a two horse, but you maybe got a three horse race for the title.
It's incredible about how quickly things change. I thought I'd have a quick look. So when he went off, when he left us in the night for Abu Dhabi, 15 months ago, right, I had a look. 42 SPFL clubs, half of them have changed their manager, and then so it's just over a year, half of the 42 have changed their manager since you left, and loads of them actually more than once. Because we spoke about Rangers, obviously Motherwell had a kind of quick transition. There's been a, that's incredible, isn't it, just how quickly things change.
Seeing the MLS, do they have the same sort of turnover as we do? Do they panic as much?
No.
Pressure's not there though, is it?
No. Well, listen, there is pressure. I mean we were under a lot amount of pressure, because you're a big club that spend a lot of money that you need to try and deliver. But there's no that threat of relegation, obviously. So even if you're at the kind of bottom of the league, there is also 9 out of the 14, 15 teams in the conference kind of make the playoffs. So there isn't that pressure that the managers face back here. I mean, again, there is always pressure with certain clubs, the bigger clubs that expect to win. If you're not doing the job, as we've found out, then you could suffer. But it's nowhere near the levels they back, whether it be in Scotland here, like you say, half of them in 15 months, say 42 clubs have changed their manager. Down in England, you see guys getting 3-4 months, maybe less than 10 games, and they're out. So it's not that type of pressure. But again, when you're coming from that environment, you put pressure on yourself to actually go and deliver. So when you're not doing the job, you still feel, you might not be under, but you still feel the same pressures when you're not winning games of football.
What he's trying to say is there is no way they could sustain 7 days a week of a football phone-in show, only talking about a couple of different teams, a few different teams, in a relatively small part of the world. Nowhere does the intensity and madness like we do. So let's get stuck in. It's great to have Kenny back. I'm sure we'll pick his brains more as the show progresses. James is first through tonight. Hi, James.
Hi, Gordon and Kenny. Welcome back, Kenny.
Cheers, James.
I'm just thinking that you've had a lot of calls this week regarding like Martin O'Neill's future at the club and the Celtic man, the next Celtic manager. But to personally me, like I don't know much about Wilfred Nancy, but I'm just kind of not really excited. I know obviously like we brought Ange Postecoglou in, and he like. Not much of a CV either. You know what I mean? He was kind of a stab in the dark and he worked out. But I just feel as if, as a Celtic fan, we've kind of had a stab in the dark. We've had, like, obviously Ronnie Dyla. We've had Ange Postecoglou. I mean, I don't think we should be maybe going for another untested manager in Europe. Personally, myself, I would keep Martin O'Neill in place until we can find an established. I'm not saying, like, it has to be. I know Nicholson's been mentioned as well, but I mean, I'm looking for like maybe somebody that's got a wee bit of European experience. I'm not expecting to bring in Rafa Benitez or somebody like that, you know what I mean, or Jurgen Klopp. But I'm just, Martin O'Neill's doing a good job. I know he's an older manager, but if like he's 20 years younger, we're crying out for Celtic to sign him up on a 2-3 year contract.
What makes you say that? Because I know he's definitely a legend at Celtic. There's no question about that. You know, a real hero. But he hasn't managed in 6 years. So I don't know. Would we have a clamour for Celtic to reappoint Martin O'Neill if he was younger?
Yeah, so I think they would. Yeah, you know what I mean? I think if the fact that he's not managed in 6 years, you can see that. But if you look at Roberto Martinez, when he obviously brought Maloney in as his assistant, you can kind of see it's Maloney who is taking the training. If you remember Martin O'Neill's first time at Celtic as well, I was a lot younger, but I always remember my granddad saying that he didn't take much of the training. He wasn't really around the players. He kind of left it to his coaching staff. So I think it's Maloney who probably has taken most of the training, obviously, and the other coaches as well. So I don't think age should be ruling him out of the job. Obviously, not long term, but at least we find that right person.
Did Brendan Rodgers' resignation come as much of a shock on the other side of the Atlantic as it did here?
I was actually travelling. I was in Glasgow at the time. Actually, I was travelling back that day, back to Atlanta, and I was shocked. I think there's a lot of chat that it wasn't going to be Celtic beyond this season, but for that to kind of come, it was a huge surprise to me. I mean, again, I'd been tracking it, but when I seen it happen, I was proper shocked. I just thought he would have seen his season out again, wanting to finish on a high, particularly after how he left the last time as well. And I know it's under completely different circumstances, but yeah, it was a big shock to me.
To be fair, Ken, I think if you'd have been here watching and listening to most of his interviews, I don't think you'd have been as shocked.
No, I think both can be true though. It was heading that way, but I still think the timing and the way and how sort of that night,
how quick
it was.
That
night was so dry. Anyway, we're right. Going over the course a bit. The reason I picked James up on it, it wasn't meant to be a criticism of Martin Neil, but James says if he was 20 years younger, you'd be saying, you know, sign him up straight away. And I just don't know. I don't know about that because it's so hypothetical. And like I said, he's been out of football management for 6 years. You know, Celtic could have at any point in that time gone down that road. Even before that, I think, you know, maybe had some mixed level of success in some of the previous jobs that he did. But James, we are getting a lot of calls saying sort of, you know, let's just keep this going for a while.
I keep saying it. I'm a big fan of Martin O'Neill. I do agree the fact that if he was 20 years younger, I think James and a lot of Celtic supporters were on this show saying he is the man to take over. Apart from Michelin, everything's went well. But if you look at the fixtures, take Rangers out the road of that. At home to Kilmarnock, Falkirk, you're expecting Celtic to go and win them in. Martin O'Neill goes out there, he's given the players a little bit more confidence, a bit of lift, a bit of sharpness. Celtic fans like the way he's playing. I totally agree with James. I don't think he's ever been a real coach. He's been a man manager. He's someone that leaves a coach into his backroom staff. That's where he feels that their strength is and his strength is going about the dressing room, picking the team and the tactics and everything. But I don't think he can go on. I've said it, I think it was on Tuesday, I said that I still believe Martin O'Neill will be the manager when they play St Mirren after an international break, but I don't think he'll be the manager to the end of the season. I think Celtic...
Where are you drawing that line then? What, the January window? I mean, what does it...
I think you've got to have a new guy in by easily before the January window, Gordon. That's got to be all put in place in the planning, because January window for Celtic is so important after what happened this summer.
We don't want a new guy in earlier then to plan that in advance.
I think Celtic would want a new guy in as soon as possible, but unfortunately nowadays it just doesn't happen like that. You've seen the case with Rangers. Celtic have apparently been holding talks in London. Now, if it was as easy as that, they pick the number one target, they would turn around and say, right, okay, let's get all the everything signed, let's get you outside Celtic Park with the scarf above your head. It doesn't work that anymore for me.
See, some of this stuff's by design and some of it's by accident. I'll be honest, I looked at tonight, I thought we're 2 days away from a big game for Scotland. Kenny Miller's got 69 Scotland caps, he's back in the country, he's got nothing better to do with his time, get him in. Then Celtic are linked with a manager from the MLS where you've just been, and these things just fall onto your lap. Wilfred Nancy, talk to us.
Yeah, he's he's been a pretty successful coach, I would say, in the MLS. A real style with how he plays. We faced them twice this year, and they were excellent in both games. They've just actually obviously got knocked out of the playoffs by Cincinnati. Again, two really good teams. But the way he plays is, I want to say, it'll be in the style of an Ange Postecoglou, of a Brendan in his first spell. The way they play football is really possession-based. In Scotland, can it translate? again, it'll be interesting to see how it does. Kind of back three-ish going to play, two sixes going to play, wing-backs kick on, players tuck in the pockets, they've got the striker up top. They had some really good players in that team at Columbus.
More like Ange or Brendan, or is it like a halfway?
I would say some kind of hybrid between them both. Right. And again, I thought when Ange first came in, it was Ange Ball was kind of born, and I still thought Brendan's team were really underestimated how they played when in his first spell. I thought it was excellent.
Even the start of last season, to be fair.
There was still a lot of, again, it was good to watch, fast attacking football. Again, it's not really happened this season, hence the change. But again, it's when you're going to the MLS, understand completely what James is saying. In terms of what you maybe want a bit more of a name. Again, you always refer back to Ange. Again, he wasn't a name, he came in, and again, Celtic hit the jackpot with Ange. All I'd say on the Martin O'Neill thing is that he's got young coaches about him. He can manage all these young, hungry, energetic coaches. Sean's been mentioned. I know Mark Fotheringham better than anybody, obviously. He'll be doing a lot of the coaching as well. There's no way he's in there just to go and put cones down and pick bibs up. He's a top, top coach. Sean knows him very well. It's no surprise that under Martin, I think Foz was the youngest Celtic debutant ever, and it was Martin that gave him that debut. So there has been a connection there. Sean was on the pro list, and Sean came through with Mark at Celtic as well. So Big Mick McManus is there now as well. So there's a lot of young coaches about him. My biggest thing with Celtic, on the difference between Celtic and Rangers and their managerial search, Celtic don't need to rush. Because they've got someone like Martin O'Neill at the helm, because they've got all these kind of decent young coaches who have full energy around them to help them, I don't think there's a real need to rush.
Thank you, James. That was a good insight, that, on Wilfred Nancy from Kenny Miller. I'll tease more out of him after we return, so get your calls in and we'll speak to you next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller is back from his footballing travels to join us tonight alongside Gordon Dalziel. And there's such a brilliant dynamic here, because look, I think we all know what Gordon Dalziel's like, right? He thinks he's the most interesting guy in any room. He doesn't usually listen to the other pundits, see when they're talking at the break. He wants to tell his own stories. But Kenny Miller's just told him that when he was over in Atlanta, he went and watched the Masters and was there as Rory McIlroy created history and put on the green jacket. And he was just sitting in your... I've never seen somebody starstruck by a story before.
I was loving it, absolutely loving it. Even the fact he took his seat, sat it down there, and he could go away and come back and say, That's my dream seat. Oh, that is, honestly, all night, I'm listening to this.
This guy's saying he's glad to be back.
No, I'll take your place.
Until April next year.
The life this guy's lived in the last 15 months. You'd like
Christmas,
that, wouldn't you?
Beautiful.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Never see me again.
That's bucket list stuff, that, is it not?
It was for me, for sure. I've spoken about it for years. I would love to go as a player. You're never off. If you're jumping into coaching, you're never going to be off. And it just so happened we landed in Atlanta, Georgia. I mean, we had the game on the Saturday, and we were free on the Sunday, and we just happened to get four freebies for the final
free
day of the Masters.
Free,
and that makes you even better.
That's what I love.
Because he loves a freebie.
I love a freebie.
Hold on though. How are the free tickets going to the Sunday of the match? That's blown my mind.
It's who you know.
Oh, ridiculous. Anyway, let's talk football, because the jealousy's oozing out of the two Gordons in here. Ryan is in Bearsden. How are you, Ryan?
Hi, I'm good. How are you guys?
Yeah, good, thanks. What's on your mind tonight?
I'm thinking about the Celtic. I think what it is I was listening to the managerial thing, and I'm thinking we're taking a bit of a stab in the dark, considering where we've been before. I mean, we've got Ange, we've got Ronnie Dalziel, I mean, as the boy says earlier on, but we've got Ange, and we're really lucky with that, because most of us thought that could have been a project a couple of years before anything happened there, especially with Stevie G and all that, but we're lucky. I think, especially with what's happened across the road, I think it's a right stab in the dark for Celtic to go for a guy who, as that guy earlier on said, hasn't got a European pedigree, hasn't got a proven pedigree, a lot of trophies behind him, but a good few trophies behind him anyway. I will support the guy. I'm not putting him down. I think that did phone up and I says that I wished Brendan would get bagged after the board. But I didn't think it was just because of Brendan. I thought because they weren't giving him the money to do the job, so at least get rid of him and get somebody in it to do the job. I think the board are doing us a disservice by bringing in this guy.
I don't want to keep comparing it to Ange Postecoglou, because they're entirely different characters from entirely different parts of the world. But it does keep happening, Ryan, because you we keep hearing people saying no European experience. That's exactly the situation Ange found himself in, though. So why is that the sole reason for you? If you want, I totally respect that Ange was a bit older and a bit more experienced, but people keep saying, like, their first concern is he's no experience of European football. And I feel like you just have to reply with neither did Ange. So why is that an issue now?
I've been dominating for, God, near on 25 years. Many trophies of the leagues have they won, 20, something like that. So to me, they have to be concentrating on Europe. What, this year, what happened was the biggest disaster of all. We all know that. We couldn't put a team out that, I mean, they hang me to them. That was bad. That was one of the worst couple of games of football we had to sit through, and both of them. I mean, and so the Celtic need to be looking at Europe. We need to be getting in with these. And look at the way some of these teams are climbing through these leagues in Europe with these eight games. That's where the money is. If we can get the money, we can help other teams in the league by putting the TV up. And that's where we need to look at that. The TV revenue going to other teams is disastrous. Motherwell, Hibs, Aberdeen, all these clubs, I don't support them, but they need a fair crack. They need money. You see, the amount of money that goes into the third division at English tier football when they drop down is more for one team than what the whole of Scottish football is getting.
Don't get me wrong, it's not that Ryan's wrong, I think that's a valid point, but it feels like a whole, you know, a whole other discussion in terms of Celtic's manager, right? Because Ryan wants to prioritise someone that can do well in Europe. Celtic need somebody to win the league this season. Before you bother about Europe.
Yeah, bread and butter.
You won't get in it. You won't get into Europe. You know, that we're now in, we've maybe moved on because there was always this assumption, well, Celtic will win the league. Mm-hmm. They just will. No matter what they are, they'll win the league and then you need to concentrate in the Champions League. But right now, I don't think that's a given, is it?
Not, but I still would be confident that if Anil and Maloney were in charge, I think Celtic have still got the ability to pick parts. I do. I think Hearts will be a real contender this year. I think they'll strengthen in January. The club's going brilliantly under Derek McInnes. I know they had a draw at the weekend, but listen, no team just goes through, especially if you're Hearts and go every game without, you know, drawing or a wee blips, how you respond from that. It's interesting there that Ryan's talking about. Postecoglou was a very experienced manager, Gordon, when he came to Celtic Park. There's no doubt about that. You know, he's an international manager.
I know, but he didn't
well.
Have European experience, did, right, which people keep mentioning.
Yeah, well I'm not too sure on that. I don't know who they're going to get. I know there's a few names being mentioned, McKenna, Ipswich, and there's well documented the money he's on and everything like that. They're willing to pay that if he's a man. Is he willing to come? For me, because of what's happened, and this is why I think Martin will still be in the dugout come the St Mirren game, what happened this summer, it's so, so important for the board to get this appointment right, or honestly, it's going to be worse and worse at Celtic.
What type of, I mean, I know you've only come up against him, I'm not saying you were best mates, but what kind of like character, if you like, is Wilfried Nancy? Because I think, well, you know this environment better than anybody. There's kind of an expectation that you need to have a bit about you, whatever that means. And that's why Andrew's probably a good example, because I know he had been over, you know, in far-flung leagues and he maybe didn't have European experience, but he came in and he fitted, didn't he? He sort of fitted the role. What's Wilfried Nancy like?
Again, I've not seen too much of how he deals with the press, how he kind of portrays himself and carries himself. On the touchline, he looks pretty calm. You know, I think he did look like quite demanding his team.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's a completely different animal when you come in here. And this is the thing, like, when Ryan and James are talking about these types of things and the manager that Celtic need, I mean, I would be intrigued to find, like, who would they want? You know, because, like, all the names are, I don't think you're going to get Kieran McKenna, like you've said. I think that's been well kind of documented, maybe the reasons why.
Going to get Postecoglou, he'd probably be in the building, wouldn't he?
Again, it depends on how his situation, his contractual situation, not just with Forest, but with Spurs as well. Yeah. What's going on there with payoffs and things, and how does it fit coming into Celtic?
A lot would be going on there, I would imagine.
Well,
given the size
so
of those
much,
jobs.
So there's so many other things coming when a manager just left a club. Again, it's the end of the MLS season, Nancy's available. Does it make it easier? Fit. Again, I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Kenny, as a guy that knows both leagues and you've worked here now, if you're sitting in the board at Celtic just now, are you saying my vote's for him? Because I know the way he works. You talk about the style of team, everything, the football, it fits the Celtic bill. He's, what, 4 years as a manager? Are you saying I feel that I'm confident enough to give him the job, knowing that the standard of the MLS, the pressure that come to a team like Celtic, especially now, to go out, and Gordon's quite right, they're chasing Hearts. They've got a chance to win the league. Obviously, Europe's a big, big thing for them, which has been poor this season. Are you pushing that forward?
Personally, I wouldn't be.
No.
I wouldn't be. I just don't think it's a... I don't know how it's... I don't know how... Again, it's for me, it's a gamble. It is a, and every appointment's a gamble, and that's the thing. Even, again, you're talking about European experience. You look across the set, Rangers went Gio and they went Philip Clement, who did have success, had got European pedigree, and again, they lasted, what, 12 months, 14 months, and they were out the door. So there's no guarantees. For me, I don't... unless you're... I've not looked into them the way I would like to hope the Celtic board, the sporting director, the recruitment guys, whoever it is, however the, and however they've identified them, they're going to have obviously deep-dived that a lot more than me. But I think it's a big, big gamble when you go to someone with that experience from that league to then come and not just come to Celtic or Rangers, in the current predicament of the club, to where they're at, I think it's a big, big challenge.
We kind of spoke about this last night, though. It depends what market you go into. Like, would he be considered, like, maybe not the best, but kind of, you know, one of the best coaches in MLS? Would that be fair? Maybe, over the last couple of years,
maybe, right. Maybe there's a lot of good ones. So
Celtic, if you want the kind of the best coach from a league, that league is going to have to be America, Australia, etc. You're not going to go and get the best coach
in England
or Spain, or obviously, you know, any of the big countries. Could you even go and get the best coach from Belgium? Probably not. They're maybe going to try and get the best coach from Norway. That's the one that a lot of fans want. So it feels like those are the, you know, the types of market that you're in. And it's personal preference. Do you go for somebody who's one of the top dogs in a weaker league, or somebody who is middle of the road in a more competitive environment?
I mean, all I would say is, by the way, the MLS wouldn't be a weaker league, is what I would say. Also,
sort of, you know, I mean,
I understand
everything
what you mean,
taken into account.
I just think, coming from that type of environment into Glasgow, forget the Scottish League, into Glasgow, with everything that's going on at the moment in time with Rangers and Celtic and how Hearts are now starting, I think it's a big, big ask at this moment in time for someone who has absolutely no experience of European, Scottish football, these clubs, when you've been a head coach, manager for, what, four seasons? What, I think it's a big ask.
What separates Ange from that? Is it the age he was, the international experience?
You know what? Ange has had way more experience for me. But Ange was a gamble, and it paid off.
Sure.
Like, as I say all the time, Celtic over these last, what, it's almost been 10 years now, with Brendan Rodgers and Ange Postecoglou, they've been really, really fortunate. Because Ange was a gamble that paid off massively. And the fans loved him, they loved the style. To be honest, he came in, he carried himself, probably stuck to his guns after a ropey start. Was it three wins in his first six games or so? And it was, oh, this is another Pedro Kishina appointment. It's an unknown coming from a faraway league that nobody really knows about. He come in and changed all that, and the fans loved them.
Great bit of research from the producers here, Gordon, and I'm going to take the Celtic fans on a roller coaster.
Cool.
When Columbus, Wilfred Nancy's club, played against Kenny's Atlanta, they were 5-0 up. Just shows how good they must be. But where did it finish?
5-4, and we should have won the game.
5-4? So he's not a defensive coach.
He's a bit open.
Oh my goodness.
He's a bit open, is he?
Yeah.
Transitions, when you got on top of them, they were a bit weak.
How early were they 5-0 up?
They were 5-0 up after 38 minutes.
You are kidding.
5 shots on goal, three or four mistakes, 5-0 down. We scored right on half time and right after half time.
So you 5-1 down at half time?
Yeah.
And finished 5-4.
And then it went 5-2, 40. First attack, kick forward, won the ball, cross goal, 5-2. 5 minutes later, 5-3. We were on the fetch. We could feel, actually, at 5-2, Ronnie turned around and says, "We're going to win this." I was like, "Camp, what's in your bottle of water there?" But then we got 5-3 straight away, and it took, I think it was with 5 minutes to go, I think we got 5-4. We missed three chances as well to go 5-5.
See, knowing how animated you get, how would you describe your mental state at 5-0 down after half an
goodness.
Hour?
It was beyond anger. It was beyond anger. We actually made changes, or we're talking about making changes for obviously damage limitation. Damage before halftime,
like,
way before.
10.
But this is where it was going. Every attack they scored, it was absolutely incredible. And then they just went and they went and they went. And they're a good team. They played through. They've got really good players. But again, then we got on top of them. And then we were the team in the second half, just playing their half.
Sounds like he's an entertainer. Get him in. I quite like the sound of it. 01419511025. Thanks to Ryan for giving us his thoughts. We can take plenty of your calls. Keep them coming. I'll speak to you after we tell you about this. The money we give away has gone up since you left as well. £625,000. If you enter Make Me A Winner now, your bank balance could be transformed and then some. You might, Kenny might even be able to get you a ticket to the Masters next year for that type of cash. If you want to get 100 entries into the draw, text BANK to 61025. The texts are £10 plus your standard network rate. For £250 plus your standard network rate, you get 15 entries, and that's by texting YES to 61025 or call 03 434 269 340, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only. All the rules and the online entry for this network competition are at makemeawinner.co.uk, and the lines close 5pm tomorrow, so you're running out of time. Don't leave it to the last minute then forget about it. For your chance to win £625,000, text YES to 61025.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller and Gordon DL are here. It's 0141 951 1025. Even Hugh Keevans has texted to see if you missed him.
Oh, I miss you big time. Somebody actually asked me the day. Some guy's in doing a bit of decorating in the house, Craig. And he's like, oh, listen to the show. You got to mind if I put a podcast on? And I went, I crack on. And I says, I'm going down the radio. I went, oh, this is what I listen to. He went, what's it like meeting Hugh Keevans? I was like, oh, shuck.
Honestly.
He's just an absolute legend, a guy.
Seeing you landed in Glasgow last week, did you think Hugh's still there?
Stop it.
No, I meant in Super School. What did you think of me?
Alive.
I did, actually.
I know you did.
Was it coming up against Messi or sitting in the 18th green at Augusta that made him miss Hugh Keevans more? Exactly. I wonder, honestly.
I missed him at that point.
01419511025. That is the number you need. Lockie is on the line. Hi, Lockie.
Hey, good boys, how you doing? Gordon, Kenny, Dazzler, what's happening?
Not a lot. What's happening with you?
Oh, good, brothers. I've just been listening to the show on YouTube and stuff. There's a lot of good points and stuff. Obviously, not everybody's going to agree or disagree. But I'd like to think about where we are as a Scotland. We're so far off, it's unbelievable. A lot of callers, Celtic fan myself, thinking about the MLS is some old pub league and all that. We're the pub league. Do you know that in the global rankings, like MLS is number 10 and Scotland's at 31? We need to realise where the programme is and how far we are off it. I think even I was looking at the stats, Gibraltar have got a better coefficient at this European, since the European FIFA started this year than we've got. We are well out of the marks, lads. I think we need, Celtic fans need to realise we can't get anybody who's like, for the Premiership or the years before, or even the Dutch League, the French League, or the German League. You need to remember how bad we are. Hopefully the national team can do us a favour Saturday, Tuesday and stuff, but we need to get real, and I think that's the problem here. The focus should be on how bad and how behind we are, and I'm quoting the whole Scottish football, even like Hearts is doing well at the moment. But your guy come in and it's 2 minutes to top of the league. Do you know what I mean? We're a bit of like, we're so far behind. I think we're like Iron Age, you know what I mean? So we're so far behind. What do you think about that, man?
Is there a distinction, Kenny? Because you're tailor-made for this discussion, having just been there. I don't think we are saying the Scottish Premiership is better than the MLS, but maybe that unique environment of what being a Celtic or a Rangers manager requires versus coming from the MLS, or the, in the level of experience that the coach in question has. Is that not the more relevant?
Oh, that's exactly where the relevance lies, because that's why I say to you, the MLS is not a lesser league.
No, of course not.
But in terms of what Rangers and Celtic want to be and where they want to get a manager from the MLS with no European experience, who's been a head coach for 4 or 5 years or whatever it's been, it's a gamble. That's the reality. But as we've said, getting a Giovanni Van Bronckhorst who had a Philip Clement across, I mean, Andrew's a gamble. You know, there's no guaranteed for success. Mm-hmm. That's it. You've just got, for me as a fan, if you're a fan, you have to trust, and I think that's where there's troubles, that there's no trust. that they are doing the job properly in terms of recruiting players, identifying who the next best manager would be, and can they actually step into a club like Celtic and come and carry that football club forward and deliver league titles and deliver a progression in European football. Again, you'll say you can't get the top managers for England. For me, they're Brendan Rodgers for two spells, mm-hmm. who's, I've said it all along.
Yeah.
I know that irrespective of how it's went, is there a better British manager out there than Brendan Rodgers? So you've got a top coach there. Is it because of the connection of the club? But initially it wasn't. You know, so it's there's no guarantee, it doesn't matter what league you're looking at. I understand what Locke is saying, but it's not about the Scottish League compared to the MLS. It's about what Rangers or Celtic in this at this moment in time need to come and take their clubs forward. And listen, both of them have had to go through this process. Again, I'll say it again, I feel Celtic don't need to rush.
Is all of this amounting to you thinking Wilfred Nancy would be an okay idea, Lockie?
I think it's a snobbery. It's worse, Gordon, to be honest. I think sometimes it's because, like, Kenny was touching on there about Celtic and stuff and the MLS, but I think at the end of the day, it is, you need to look which is available, which who wants to come to Scotland. You know, we've not got a great track record, pulling up trees and stuff, you know, like, you know, and you've got a young manager who could be future thinking, you know, like, ideology is good, and who knows, all right, but we'll talk about Postecoglou became, nobody heard of the guy. Celtic got super lucky, but super, super lucky, but you need to realise, I think my bigger point was, like, where we're at as a nation, rather than, like, oh, the worst thing I always think is about comparing us to the Premiership, that's La La Land. How many English players actually play in the Premiership? I was watching a thing today about, right, they've not got another striker. There's guys at 26-year-old is no player anymore. We need to realise who we are, where we're at, and work from there, rather than start to think we've got snobbery or nobody's got experience. Who's got experience? You know, I just think it's like the bigger problem for me personally is, like, we need to realise where we are as a nation, and that goes the whole genre of Scottish football. I think that's the bigger problem, comparing yourself with your neighbours who are, like, stratospherically.
But again, Lockie, right, see, to be fair, I don't think anybody anymore compares our game generally to the English Premier League and thinks that, you know, that it's comparable. But it does feel like if we're talking about a Celtic job, that is different. You know, Bayern Munich, February, you know, playing on that stage, playing that well, you've got access generally to the Champions League. You've got access to win things. So what you think of Scottish football as a whole isn't necessarily what you might be thinking when you're offered the job to be the Celtic manager.
Yeah, I totally agree. I don't think, I know what Lockie's saying, right, and I totally agree with him, but I don't think this is a situation where you're comparing leagues, right? You're looking at a manager in the MLS that Kenny's obviously well known to. He works there when probably a small amount of pressure on you, Gordon. You come to this city and you manage a team like Celtic, right? It's not just winning trophies and trebles. It's Europe. It's everything. The spotlight is on you every second. Every second. And everything's highlighted. It's a completely different role from what he's probably used to the now. And because, for me, the 4 years' experience to come into this city, and I totally agree with Kenny, any management appointment's a risk. But I think that's a massive risk that Celtic would take.
What sort of budget would Columbus Crew have, roughly, in comparison to Celtic? Is it hard to... Smaller?
Not a clue. I don't know. Because really? When you've got these opportunities to sign these DPs, you can be paying them whatever they want. So maybe a similar type budget. I'm just throwing something out. I've no idea what Celtic spend now, and I've no idea obviously, the MLS is there is a salary cap, but there is so many ways now. I mean, the cap's so much bigger than when I played. The DPs obviously make a big dent in that because you can pay them. Again, I think I've seen it, Gordon, there. Like, Toronto just paid off a couple of Italian DPs. They're running $50 million a year.
I'm gonna need you to clarify what DP stands for.
Draft designated players. Player. Oh, designated player.
Good. Just in case anybody was wondering. Definitely designated player. Okay. So Gordon Dale's eyes light up there. Oh, yeah. Designated player. Oh my goodness. 01419511025. I thought we were going to get shut down there. Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
How's the heart rate?
Oh, I'm nervous.
Please.
Really nervous.
Come on.
15 months ago, we looked it up. Your last season on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, 24 out of 24. Untouchable. And now you're telling me you're nervous.
Yep. Give me a Old Firm Cup final, a game against England, facing Messi every day of the week. This is brilliant.
Right, Beat the Pundit is here, and you have to get your calls in before seven. Let's hear from you.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL is here. Kenny Miller's back from his travels. He's sweating bullets. I love that, the way he summed it up. Never let it be said that Clyde One Super Scoreboard, and Beat the Pundit in particular, is not important business. He said cup finals, Old Firm games, coaching against Messi in the MLS, none of it compares to the pressure that he might find himself under. Your form is actually all right.
Yeah.
Which you go through like ups and downs.
Yeah, I do.
Do you think
it's like life?
I was going to say
ups and downs, Kenny.
Do you think it reflects my what's life. Going on in your personal
yeah,
life?
Yeah, 100%.
Like you're having a rough time, you're in a dip, Beat the Pundit, then you're feeling good about yourself, you're back on.
Unbelievable, yeah.
Have you missed that?
Beat the Pundit?
No, him.
And oh, I missed the Dazzler.
See,
some of the stories, some of the clips, I've missed some
you,
of the clips.
You know how I asked you everything that's gone on in Scottish football in the last 18 months? See if you stay behind for an hour after the show, he'll tell you what's gone on in his life in the last 18 months.
And I'll be more exciting.
It's quite something. Right, keep the calls coming, as is the theme really this week. We've spoken a lot about Celtic and the managerial vacancy, which is understandable. What about Scotland? 2 days away, we've put a poll up and some very interesting results. Lots of you have voted. If you haven't already, go to @ClydeSSB, stick your vote in, and then more importantly, give us a call. Who plays in goals for Scotland? Because we need to be honest before we all, and we're all very entrenched in our opinions, we have to admit it's a heck of a decision. A 42-year-old who's not played in 6 months, or a Falkirk goalie who's not been capped in 6 years and has only started playing first team football really this season, or the number two at Rangers. That is a tough choice for Steve Clark. Which one would you go for? Give us a call right now and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Callum's in White Inch. How are you, Callum?
I'm alright, guys. How are you?
Good, thank you. Have you ever played this before?
No, just in the house myself.
Right, okay. A guy came up to me the other day actually and said, "Gordon, do you remember me? I phoned in for Beat the Pundit." And that was it. That was the only information I got.
Not even a name.
I'm struggling here. We do this a lot, but it's always good.
Is it Callum?
No, Callum's phoning for the first time.
All right.
He said, "The main thing you've missed in the 15 months you've been away, and this is huge. Don't let anyone kid you. Is the new Beat the Pundit."
I seen it in this wee box.
It's outstanding, isn't it? Look at that. Feel the craftsmanship.
Look at that.
Honestly,
just think.
A lot of efforts went into that.
Brilliant.
Just think, you'll be giving one of them away tonight.
Well, we'll see how rusty he is if he indeed plays. Callum, how do you assess your competition? Because Kenny used to be top drawer at this, but he's been out of the country for 15 months. Does that make him better or worse than Gordon DL?
I don't know if Gordon's won since the last time he's been on the show.
Oh, okay. Callum thinks you're 15 months without a victory.
I'm on 4 out of 4.
Yeah, but your form overall this season still a bit.
It's Thursday, I'm always good, and a Thursday is near the weekend. I get excited.
Right, okay. Anyway, the blue side of the coin will be Kenny Miller. The red side of the coin will be Gordon DL.
Please be blue.
Yes! Ah!
God,
he's got away with it.
Oh. See, I can get a wee practice run tonight. Just get
you
done.
Have my turn.
So what are you thinking then? You think like in a week or 2 weeks' time you'll be comfortable, right?
Okay. If you offer me a 3 right now, I would rip your hand off for a 3.
Right. Okay. Well, it's Gordon DL
so
anyway.
Would Callum
up against Callum. Let's give Gordon something else to listen to. I've had a quick glance. They're tough. They're tough tonight. Callum, you've got 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can, and pass if you don't know the answer. All right.
Yeah, no worries.
Okay, 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. What manager did Danny Rule work under at Southampton?
Pass.
At which Glasgow stadium did Scotland last qualify for a World Cup against Latvia in 98?
Celtic Park.
Which team did Partick Thistle play in Stephen Lawless's testimonial tomorrow?
Name
any Scotland international former who manages a League One team in Scotland.
Oh, I don't even
get that. Sebastian Tonetke plays for which country?
Greece.
Name any club Steve Clark played for.
West Brom.
Okay, I think they were tough, Callum. Let's bring them back. They're hard tonight.
Oh no.
You're in bother.
Right, go.
Your time starts now. What manager did Danny Rule work under at Southampton?
Ralph Hasenhüttl, or whatever you call him.
At which Glasgow stadium did Scotland last qualify for a World Cup against Latvia in 98?
Ibrox.
Which team do Partick Thistle play in Stephen Lawless's testimonial tomorrow night? Name any former Scotland international who manages a League One team.
Paul Hartley.
Sebastian Tenekteke plays for which country?
Albania, no idea.
Name any club side that Steve Clark played for.
Any club side? Don't come on it.
I outed you for this last night. The other pundits are trying it. I don't know why Andy would copy
Steve
you.
Steve Clark never played with
Commander. See that thing where you repeat the question in the hope you just buy yourself more time.
Did he play with Commander?
I don't know. You'll find out in a minute.
I don't know.
What do you think, Callum? They were quite tough, I thought, tonight.
It could be a donut. I think it's hard when it's international.
Donut? Who, for me or you? For which one are you? Producer, I need VAR. I need the VAR check.
Definitely no Hasenhüttl.
Are we giving him Hasenhüttl? What do you mean? He's saying yes.
Ralph. It's the boy Ralph Hasenhüttl.
He also called him Hasenhüttl.
Hasenhüttl.
You're getting further away. Hasenhüttl. I told you that. What does it translate as? I told you this a few weeks ago. See if you're listening. Great fact. What does Hasenhüttl translate as? In English.
Oh, you did tell me and I've completely forgotten.
Rabbit hutch.
So it is. But I'm getting the rabbit hutch.
Kenny, standards are falling here. They're trying to tell me he's getting Hasenhüttl.
I think he's got to get it. He even gave you the first name. He gave you the first name.
Exactly.
Wreck it, Ralph.
1-0 Gordon DL. Right, okay. Which Glasgow stadium did Scotland last qualify for a World Cup against Latvia in 98?
Is it Parkhead?
It is Celtic Park, and Callum got it.
Went for Ibrox.
Hamden under renovation.
Wise. So
at that time, who do Partick Thistle face in Stephen Lawless's testimonial tomorrow night? I'm a bit annoyed at this, Callum. There's no way he's getting this if he's not been pestering the Partick Thistle manager about his upcoming wedding week.
That's the only reason
there's no way you know who Andy's playing in Andy's testimonial.
No, that's the only. Because I'm speaking to him. I'm meeting him tomorrow.
Pestering him. Oh, what are you giving him last minute tips for his wedding?
Yeah, oh, no, I'm not giving him off you. He wouldn't make Sunday if I gave him last minute tips.
Which wedding was it again? First, second, or third that you didn't make it past the first dance?
Second
one.
That was brilliant.
Did the first dance on your own?
I get married on the 23rd, never seen her the 7th of January. That was a great wedding.
Shared the honeymoon suite with your best man.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
And this is the guy that's given Mark Wilson advice. It is St Mirren, so Gordon DL goes 2-1 in front. The Scotland internationals who manage in League One are Gary Naismith and Paul Hartley.
Oh, that's a cracker, dazzler.
You still had time to be pretty unconvincing at the end. Sebastian Tenekteke plays for Tunisia.
I was unlucky. It's not far away from Albania.
Better guesses. And you've let yourself down. Steve Clark's of your era.
St Mirren
and Chelsea.
So he did. How did I know none of that? Doesn't matter. Did I win?
Nah, you did. You won 3-1. Hard lines, Callum.
Yes, another victory.
Who's your team, Callum?
Rangers.
What does it feel like as a Rangers fan at the moment? Are you you must be a bit more encouraged than you were a few weeks ago. How much more encouraged?
In the league, I think he's got it maybe under control. I think the Europe performances have been slightly better, but I think it's just about focusing on the league now, moving forward.
Imagine this, right? Imagine what time would we need to extend the show to if I turned to Kenny Miller, knowing how passionate he gets about all things Rangers, and said, what have you made of Rangers over the last 15 months since you've been away?
Yeah, we'd miss the Scotland game.
We've definitely not got enough time yet. Definitely not got enough time.
Distill it for us.
Yeah. This season, again, another summary revamps, signings coming through the door, fully positivity coming into a new season, and it's flat. It doesn't have none of the positivity kind of translates onto performances or results.
So do you go away at the end of the Philippe Clement season, and he gets to start the next season.
He started the next season, yep.
And at that point, I think there was probably an excitement at starting that season. Yeah, thinking this was the one maybe to consolidate.
But again, I've said it on the show even before I went away, before Philippe Clement kind of departed. There's been a pattern at Ibrox over the last 3-4 seasons where seasons start bad. Since Steven Gerrard left, it was good for Gio. It went flat to start the next season. It was good for Michael. It went flat the next season. Same for Clement. It actually went flat towards the end of Philippe Clement's season. I think they were still in the title race. And got 15 points. 15 points out of the last 30. And that's ultimately left Celtic to the title. So there's been a common theme there at Ibrox again. again, for me, Danny Rolls came in and gave a bit of energy to the team. You know, I think a bit of that's off the back of how bad things were under Russell Martin and how kind of disillusioned the fans were over that time. So but I would say performance have improved slightly. You know, for me, there's been a way better energy about the team.
What did you make of the appointment of Danny Rule? The managerial search was quite something on these phones as well. And you're still quite close with Josh Windass.
Yes.
I know those guys all speak very highly of him.
Very highly, yep. Again, I mean, I watched them quite a bit because Josh was at Sheffield Wednesday, so I always had my eye on them. Again, and he made a huge difference to them. They were in a real relegation battle when he first took over at Sheffield Wednesday. And I actually watched the last game of the season down at Sunderland. I went down to watch it. And I mean, they were already safe, safe mid-table. Made a big impact on them. And again, last season they were in a good... I mean, they had a decent season, punching way above the weight. I mean, you can see all the problems with Sheffield Wednesday at the moment. That's been there for a number of years. And he done a fantastic job there. Again, the question was, could it translate to being the Rangers manager? Well, we'll find out soon enough. But what I would say is there has been an impact. Josh Barry Bannon speaks so highly of him, how good a coach he is, how much energy he brings, and you can see that in the performances. So there's definitely positive signs there, but there's a long way to go.
You'd have had many Scotland caps with Russell Martin.
Yeah.
Sorry to bring it back up for the Rangers fans who are trying to forget about it, but were you surprised at just how wrong it sort of went and how quickly?
Listen, I was surprised because I thought that, again, did I think it was the right appointment and the right fit at the time? Maybe not. But not to win games, like, is just completely foreign to any Rangers player or Rangers manager coming in. Like, was it one game in eight that they had won at the start of the season? So I know there were so many draws, but it was just not good enough, you know, and the performances were, again, flat as a pancake. So it was surprising that the results went the way they went, because they even thought, like, when you're a Rangers player, irrespective of who the manager is, you should be crossing that white line and giving a performance. You should be winning games of football. It doesn't matter how much good coaching, bad coaching, little information or so too much information you're getting, you should be crossing that white line with a pride to carry that jersey and go and deliver better performances than what the players were. So, I mean, they were getting outworked. They were getting outbattled. Like, these are things that are unforgivable, you know, as a Rangers fan watching their team, they don't want to be seeing that type of stuff. And again, you can say that all comes for the manager, which unfortunately in this business it does.
It's funny because we've spent a lot of time talking about the Celtic managerial vacancy and what that all looks like, because we've just been through it with Rangers as well, slightly different circumstances. Was that a good reminder as well of there is a bit that you maybe can't quite measure, that thing about being the right fit as well? Now, look, clearly some of the stuff Russell Martin had to put up with was unfair. It was, and it crossed the line. But you need the character, the person to be someone that the fans can buy into. Everybody's got a CV of some sorts where they can say they've won this, they've not won that, they get promoted there, they get relegated there. But there's just more to that when you're trying to fill these vacancies, isn't there?
No, there is, and it's just, sometimes it's not even about like how your team plays or the results. It's how you're actually carrying yourself, and how are you putting yourself out there to the fans. How are you communicating with them when you've got that opportunity, whether it be post or pre-game, you know? And I just think there was a lot of unhappy fans. Listen, where it was unfair on maybe Russell was, I mean, it did probably go a step too far, but there was actually really, really a lot of unhappy fans prior to him even being appointed. Yep. You know, so he was up against it straight away. And when you come and start the season in the way that Rangers did, with the results and all the draws and falling behind Celtic so early, not just Celtic Hearts, falling behind so early, you were always going to be up against it.
0141 951 1025, that is the number that you need. It's a victory for Gordon DL and beat the pundit. There we go.
I think I would have won 2-1 by the way.
2-1, you think you'd have got?
You said you would have taken a 3.
Ripped your hand.
I'm happy with
that. That was Callum and Whiteinch. Thank you very much. Why don't we turn our attentions to the upcoming games for Scotland, because they're only 2 days away, the first of them, and it's the chance to make a first men's World Cup since 1998. So it's quite important, in case you hadn't noticed. Let's take a look at what we have got over there on Twitter, because I did say earlier on, just to almost set the scene a bit for us tonight, I thought we'd stick a poll up, because by a mile, it's always great to debate about who should play and who shouldn't for Scotland, but by a mile, the biggest decision is who plays in goal, because it's just clearly a very difficult position for Steve Clarke at the moment. And I have to say, right, we've got nearly 800 odd votes. There's a lot of votes coming in on this. Craig Gordon, 39%. Liam Kelly, 28%. And Scott Bain, 32%. So if our adoring public who have got strong opinions and everything are pretty fairly split on that. It shows you what a decision Steve Clark has. So let's go to the phones and see what's coming through on there. And I'll get Gordon DL and Kenny Miller's thoughts, of course, as well. Callum is first through in Cambus Lang. Who gets your vote, Callum, and why?
Scott Bain. First of all, good evening, guys. Hope you're all well.
Yeah, good things.
It has to be Scott Bain for me. He's played over 1,300 minutes this season so far. And you hear all these coaches going on about how match sharpness comes into it. You know, Craig Gordon suffered a serious injury and hasn't played in who knows how long. Liam Kelly isn't really getting a sniff at Rangers. And for me, I'm a Falkirk supporter.
Now we know why.
There it is.
Watching Scott Bain coming in this season, he's just offered that sensible head. You know, you hear there was an interview Liam Henderson done saying that he's so calm and sort of his organisational skills are second to none. So fair enough, he's not had a cap in 6 years, but you know, you could say the same. Craig Gordon's not played football in over a year.
Well, do you know what I'm going to do, actually? Let's bring Wayne in on the other line at the exact same time. Callum says Scott Bain. Wayne, who are you going for?
Oh, how you doing, boys? Well, I'm obviously going to go for my big man, Gordon. I can't see by Craig. I think for the three goals that have been picked for experience, he's been in and out of the Scotland squad for the last, 10, 15 years. He's not playing at Hearts now. He's on the bench with the big German boy stepping in. I did find it would be hard for him to come back into the first team at Hearts. Like, he's a big hero, but he's back to his full fitness. That's what I know what Derek McInnes has said, that he's full of training. It's not like he's hampered or anything like he is, ready to go. And he shows time after time, whether it's with Hearts or Scotland, he has come back when guns been out in the last kind of couple of tournaments and stuff. So I think to go away, the person who knows exactly what it is for the level head, you need to look at Craig Gordon.
So you don't think 6 months without playing any football at 42 years of age is a concern?
No, absolutely not. And he showed that when he was came back and he was 40 and he came into the Hearts team, and then he was called up to the Scotland squad, I think his first campaign again, and he hadn't played for Scotland for so many years then either. So I feel as though he's kept himself in great condition, and he's always been top class whenever he's been asked to be in goals, when he's been out and been having that period of time between international and domestic football.
But Callum, you clearly do think that you need somebody who's played a bit more recently, certainly, than that.
You just, when you hear managers talking, they always look for players that have got match sharpness. And it's, for me, it's got to be considered as well for a goalkeeper, because, you know, Scott Bain's played every game for Falkirk this season. And I wouldn't go as far as saying he's been outstanding, but he's been steady, you know. And I think that's what Scotland needs. You need somebody that's been playing regularly, that's able to step in there. I'm not saying Craig Gordon shouldn't have been in the squad, because he's massively experienced, and potentially he can help Scott Bain, you know, with worthy advice or how to deal with certain situations and stuff. But for me, it has to be somebody that's playing regular football.
Right, go on then. Who are you going for? Both of you.
Do you want to go first?
I think Craig Gordon will play if he's displaying all the things that Wayne's talking about. In terms of his experience is vastly more than what Liam and Scott Bain have got at the levels he's been at and the caps he's got and the games that he's played in. So I think if he's shown that he can still be the goalkeeper that we all remember and make the saves that we've all seen him make over in his career, then he'll play.
So you mean in training?
Yes. Well, it's only
it kind of has to be,
But what I would say about the match sharpness thing is, it's a bit different for goalkeepers.
Yeah.
Because when you've got a goalkeeper, so if to take Liam Kelly, for instance, Jack Butland plays all the time. Jack goes out the team, Liam comes in. And Liam performs last season. He comes into European games and makes big saves. He comes into domestic games and delivers, because it's a bit different for goalkeeper. Because when a goalkeeper's missing, you now need to be ready to step in. That's why you'll see them when they're away on their own, they're training. They train as hard as each other. you know, game time, yet minutes are important, but it's a bit different for a goalkeeper. So I think if Craig Gordon is showing that he's capable in training, then I think he'll play.
It's such an extreme example though, Gordon, isn't it? Because you get degrees of not playing,
yeah.
Then you get 6 months,
mm-hmm.
at a time when you're 42 as well. So that might not, but I'm not saying that is an obstacle that you can't overcome, but it's an extreme example of it. Well, take Liam Kelly, you know, isn't playing either, but I think he'll probably have played more recently than that. He's younger than that. Scott Bain, who if you wanted somebody playing, then it has to be him. But he's not the cap in 6 years. He played very little football over the last few seasons before he gets to Falkirk. What a decision it is.
It's a massive shout. I hear Kenny, and I've heard a few people who were talking today about it, and a lot have gone for Craig Gordon experience. Look, there's no doubt Craig Gordon's the best goalkeeper, right? There's no doubt in that. 6 months, he comes on for his testimonial for 1 minute.
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't fit to play, yeah. So it was like a ceremonial thing.
So, personally, yeah, I'm looking at Scott Bain. I see all the you know, the reasons why Scott Bain should play, because he's playing. I think you still got to be a bit match sharpness, because you've got to make those decisions at a split moment. And I think if you're playing regular, especially if you're playing the top league, I think you're a little bit sharper. But the argument for Steve Clark is, you look at our number one goalkeeper, he doesn't play a lot of football, does he?
Mm-hmm.
Angus Gunn. You know, I think he's a bit third choice now at Nottingham Forest. So
they'd probably still be having that conversation now, by the way, if Angus Gunn was, yeah. Because he's not playing.
Yeah, he would play though because of the last Scotland game. Yeah,
he would play, but he's third choice. He's not even, so he's not even on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. So we're actually asked about it. We actually went for having your Gordons, your McGregors, and your David Marshalls, who were all in a squad at the time, and any one of them would play, and they were always playing. To now, you're like, I mean, for me, I would actually have Gordon as the number one, then Liam, then Scott Bain.
Is
the way
I would go. Yeah,
I look at Scott Bain now. He's not a young kid. He's 33 or something. I know he's not played a lot of football, but he's played this season. He's played in the Premier League.
He's actually played well.
Yeah, Gordon.
I think there was a bit of not a debate, but Falkirk, it didn't scream a position that they needed to address. They had a good goalie that got mm-hmm. them promoted to the Championship. So I remember people wondering why Falkirk used maybe a limited budget on. But I think it's been justified. He has it. He's been really good this season.
Yeah, all reports, he's been very good indeed with Falkirk. I just think it's such a big, big call. It's one that Steve Clark goes and makes. He's got to get a result, because that's the one criticism he's got to come in for, isn't it? If Scotland did they lose on Saturday night, I'll guarantee you it'll be a case of he picked the wrong goalkeeper.
Yeah, but again, an acknowledgement from us before it gets to that it's a tough choice.
Massive.
You know, we can't pretend it's not, can we?
Listen, it's not an easy one. It's not an ideal one situation for us to be in going into these games. But again, going because of the size of the games, I think you've got, again, he has to be training right, he has to be ready, mm-hmm. he has to be looking fit, because when I'm saying that match sharpness is not that important for mm-hmm. a goalkeeper, he has been injured, so it's not as if he's been training all that time as well. Mm-hmm. Like, if you talk about Liam Kelly, he's not missed a day's training probably
six
months and played games, so there is that added factor. But for everything that he's done and the saves that he can make, these are saves that can win you games, mm-hmm. put points on the board. I think he would get the nod as long as he's came through this week's training.
It's quite a split in here. Gordon DL and Callum on the line say Scott Bain. Kenny Miller and Wayne on the other line say Craig Gordon. What do you think? Give us a call. We'll speak to you next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller and Gordon DL are in the building waiting for your calls with a nice wee debate there about the Scotland goalkeeping situation. Gordon thinks Scott Bain, Kenny thinks Craig Gordon. We had two callers, they couldn't agree either. And we've got a poll going for you at Clyde SSB on Twitter to see if we can come to any sort of conclusion. But that split three ways actually, with Liam Kelly quite close in the votes there as well. So what does Steve Clark do? What should he do? Give us all your thoughts please on 01419511025. On the full time teaser, Caffers in Springburn has sent this in. For the 1998 World Cup, last time Scotland were there in the men's tournament, there were 8 Celtic players in the Scotland squad. Can you name them? Now, I've got a wee bonus bit for this as well. There were 2 other Celtic players who went with a different nation, right? So there were 10 Celtic players at the World Cup in 98.
Oh, right, okay.
But 8 of them were Scotland. So you can focus on them. And there were two others who played for
Cam
a different
Boyd.
Oh, you stole the easy one straight away. Johnson straight
Burnley.
Away.
Burnley.
Craig Burley, yes.
Jackson.
Darren Jackson, yes.
McNamara.
Yes.
There we go, there's four straight away. Shoot
he's
in.
Back.
Shoot
he's back.
Flush my gun line on there.
Yes, well there done. Right, we'll leave it there. We'll wait, leave it there for now because you've made quite a quick start. So there are eight Celtic players. There were eight Celtic players in the France 98 World Cup squad. There were two others who played for a different nation that you can give a bash to as well. So there we go. 0141 951 1025. It's Kenny Miller and Gordon DL trying to take your thoughts this evening. I was going to check in on that poll to see if it's changed drastically. I don't think it will have because there's quite a lot of votes already, so it might be hard to sway. I can still see the votes going up, but yeah, Craig Gordon, yeah, he's stretched his lead a wee bit. He's up at 38% of the votes. Scott Bain at 33%, Liam Kelly at 28%. I'll read some of the replies. B says, is that guy there all right? Scott Bain's conceded 21 goals in the league this season. Only clean sheet was against Aberdeen. I'd like Kelly, but the more realistic is Gordon. There's more experience with him. And that's why it's such a good debate. Like, yeah, Scott Bain's conceded 21 goals, but there's a reason he's conceded more than Craig Gordon.
He's playing.
Because he's playing. And he's played for Falkirk, who, with no disrespect to John, they're not going to have the most watertight defence in the division. Adam's heading to the game. Nice, getting a wee trip over there. And he prays for Scott Bain because he's played minutes. Never thought I'd fly to Greece to see a Falkirk player start, says Adam. Crazy Catman, has to be Scott Bain. Stephen O'Neill, the guy who actually plays games. So there's a bit of a support there in the comments. Or still a bit of a split with Craig Gordon getting the honourable mention. So it's going to be really interesting to see, to sort of test you a bit further in your theory, Gordon. You would pick Scott Bain. Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you think Steve Clarke will? Is that the same answer? Is that a different
No, I can take on board what Kenny was saying.
Now what prediction from you then?
I think if Craig Gordon shows up.
No, I don't need ifs.
Right, okay.
I
think Steve Clarke will go for Craig Gordon.
Oh, there we go. After all
but,
of that.
But I would go for Bain.
Right. And yours was Gordon to both questions. You would, and you think Steve Clarke will?
I think so, yeah.
Going to be very... He did say Steve Clarke would lean on his goalkeeping coach and stuff, didn't he? Let's hear from assistant manager Stevie Naismith, who thinks it should be viewed as an opportunity rather than a conundrum.
It's we'll definitely been an area that's been tricky to navigate over the years. But what I would say is the guys that have come in at certain points have done really well. I think if you look at the very first game, Denmark away, and there's a question mark, we've got no goalies playing every week. Angus Gunn sees the opportunity and takes it. I think in the four games he played, he's excellent. I would argue that they're probably four of his best performances internationally. That door then opens up now for another goalie to take that chance. Two games from a World Cup to stake a claim, not only to play in these games, but to plant the seed of being the number one. Because I don't think it's... I think for a lot of international football, there is the clear number one in it. Everybody else knows their role, but it's one of those situations where that position's up for grabs. So I don't think it's a conundrum, because I think the manager does have trust. He's built a good bit of trust with the guys that are here. It's more of an opportunity for what goal he's selected.
I love the positivity. I'll politely disagree with our old pal Stephen Naismith. He'll not be listening because they'll be living it up in a nice
Turkey hotel.
Five-star hotel in Turkey. It's a conundrum. All right, I know they want to see it as an opportunity for the keeper, and it is. Because the funny thing is, I don't think anyone's saying Angus Gunn is outstanding and Angus Gunn is playing loads of minutes. But we had this issue in the last couple of windows, but we then got that comfort blanket, as Stephen alluded to, where he came in and he played well. That save against Greece was outstanding, and it's helped get Scotland in the position they're in. Mm-hmm. So you at least at that point thought, right, fine, Angus Gunn can now... He's shown he can come in and do a job, and then he somehow gets it. What are third choice goalies doing getting injured? Seriously?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's a case of what you're talking about there. Who probably shows up better in training this week? That's what could flip it. That's how close it is. Yes, I think we'll agree. If Craig Gordon had been playing, certainty, top goalkeeper, brilliant, put him in. But because of the 6 months, I think that's a big, big ask at 42 years of age. But I think Kenny's right in what you're saying. They're away to Turkey, they'll be doing some training there, the goalkeeping coaches will be involved in it. I just think Steve Clarke will be looking and thinking, he looks the sharpest for me and I'm going to go for it. That's how tight it is for me.
And I don't know, we obsess a little bit at club level, Kenny, about sort of styles sometimes and who's better with the ball at their feet and all that. I don't know if Scotland have that. Do they have that decision? Is it just going for the guy that is going to make the best saves that keeps you in your World Cup hopes alive?
Yeah, I don't think that will come into the equation. You know what I'd say about Stephen Naismith there? Yeah, it is a conundrum, but it is also an opportunity. It can be both. You know, it's a big opportunity for whoever gets the nod. Gordon, for coming back into the team, a chance to stake his claim. Liam and Scott Bain, again, a chance if they're given the nod thing. Again, be fighting with guys who are not playing. You know, you've got a chance to take advantage, and that's where Angus Gunn, we'll probably, that's why we're debating this, as if he's going to be missed. Mm-hmm. Because he came in and played so well.
Chance, yeah.
You know, he got his opportunity. Well, it's going to go to someone else now. Again, I'll go back to it. Craig Gordon's been there, done it, got the T-shirt, got the hat. I think he'll get the nod, as long as he's trained properly and he's showed up well.
Is it safe to say it's the biggest decision by a mile? Because really, with Billy Gilmore being injured, I don't think there's loads of debate in midfield.
No.
I think you can almost pick it. I think there was always a time about back three, back five, or certainly Kieran Tierney's maybe not had the type of season that's going to see people desperate for him.
No, it's got to be a back four.
To start, and there's the usual one about Adams, Dykes, Shankland.
Yeah.
But none of it feels as important as the goalkeeper.
No, I think we'll all agree it's a massive one because of the situation we find ourselves with the three goalkeepers. None of them are playing football apart from Scott playing this season. And, you know, if the other ones had been playing regular, I'd agree with Ken. I think Scott Bain would probably be third in the list. But he's playing. His match sharpness is there. His decision making is probably a little bit more sharper. But I do believe that it will be down to this week. And I think Steve Clarke will take a bit of time, have a look at his goalkeepers, and then he'll make one of the biggest decisions, because we're two games away from having a brilliant sensation going to the World Cup. So, massive decision in goals, really is.
Okay, I think Darren's got club football on his mind as well. Take it away, Darren.
Hiya. How you doing, George?
Good.
George? Gordon. The two Gordon.
Been called worse, to be fair.
No, it was something Kenny said earlier about taking a gamble on managers. We took a gamble even as far back as Vin Janssen. Then John Barnes was a failed gamble. Then Martin O'Neill was even a gamble. So I was thinking back to the shortlist back then. Goose Hiddink was even on that. Fernandez was on it. So to say that this Nancy is a gamble, then so be it.
Yeah, but is it about... You're absolutely right, by the way, because it doesn't even need to be Celtic only. If you look at the Rangers, if we're considering them similar size, I remember thinking that in terms of like boxes ticked, I feel like Philippe Clement was quite a good fit because he was age, experience, different leagues in Europe, had won things, and that there are no guarantees, so everything's a gamble. At the same time though, Darren, you're trying to tick as many boxes as possible on paper, and then you see what happens. You don't understand, or you don't agree with the worry from previous callers that, you know, he's never managed in Europe, he's only been a manager for a couple of years, that sort of thing?
I don't think so, no. I think if he gets the back of the fans, first and foremost, then he's after a winner straight up.
He'll only get the backing of the fans if he comes and hits the ground running. It's as simple as that, and gets results and wins trophies. Look, I totally agree. I think we'll all agree on the fact that any manager's a gamble. 4 years into his management career, he doesn't live with the same pressure over there as he would in Glasgow. Completely different ball game. We've seen good managers coming into Rangers and Celtic and Folk.
But then again, you could say there'll be a lot of football environments that don't compare to that. Mm-hmm. People are even saying that Russell Martin, you know, a guy managed in the English Premier League.
Yeah.
And people said that he wasn't prepared for the script. So if nothing does prepare you for it, truly, how can you try and replicate it? And again, I go back to him, and I know he was experienced, and I know he was an international manager, but Ange Postecoglou hadn't done that type of environment either.
Oh, listen, all I would say is, and I did say, Darren, all managerial appointments are a gamble. I just feel this is a bigger gamble, and what I'd put it to you is he your number one choice to be the Celtic manager?
Martin O'Neill was even a gamble.
No, well, no, he would be. He absolutely would be. Because, like, no, for a whole difference.
Even back yeah, then,
yeah,
was,
yeah, yeah, but that's, I mean? Yeah, but that's what I'm asking. We know that. Every managerial appointment is a gamble. No matter your record, their CV, where they've managed, everything's a gamble. There's no guarantee it'll work. I'm asking you, is he your number one choice?
No, I don't even know who he is. So,
well, there you go. So it's a wee bit of gambling if you're googling who he is. You know, but by the way, I'm just saying, because there is no guarantee. But all I'd say is, like, when you see names that get mentioned, they would not have been at the top of that list. So now maybe Celtic are bored, have landed on him now.
That's it. I was asking the Bradleys in work today. That if you ever heard of him, and it was young Lewis, the boy I worked with. He's like, aye. Only through the media.
Darren, I totally admire your commitment to give your colleagues a shout out. I don't mind it, it's absolutely fine. I love how you've shoehorned in, it's totally fine. I hope the Bradleys and Lewis in particular are having a good evening. It has been an interesting search this, Gordon. So Celtic like to keep a lot behind closed doors, like a lot of clubs try to, with varying degrees of success. But yeah, it doesn't feel like there's been loads, because even, you know, rival fans will say, Craig Bellamy turned it down, or Kieran McKenna turned it down. I'm not really sure it's ever that. You hear the money, about, it takes £5 million to get Kieran McKenna. By all accounts, he's on an absolute fortune. So that might have just been a non-starter.
But the argument against that is people will say Celtic have got the money. That's what they get criticised about in the summer.
I said it last night, I'm always reluctant because you never know exactly, and it's kind of root, but the suggestions are Kieran McKenna earns miles more than what Celtic were paying Brendan Rodgers. So you're really going to go there. It's all right saying Celtic have got the money, but you've got to still work within realistically a market that you're in.
And plus the fact, nowadays, I think what you've got to take into consideration, that as much as you're pinpointing a manager, the manager has to want to come to Scotland. Wants to come. They're Postecoglou, right? Now, I think Kenny's right. He might look at what's happening in Forest and Spurs in his last contract. We all know the situation with money. If it was that, you know, greater a deal to come back to Scotland, Postecoglou would probably be in the hot seat just now. Because he's probably the one that the majority of the Celtic fans would love to see coming back.
I was hoping for something, a bit of information, a nugget to hang on, because Wilfred Nancy did a press conference today. So it's the first time I think anyone spoken to him since this all came about. They got knocked out of the playoffs, didn't they? So yes. I think it was like he sat with his like sporting director or something like that, and kind of to review things. And quite simply, all he said was, I'm not here to talk about myself. I have nothing to say about any kind of reports, but you know the way this works. I've seen some newspaper online articles saying the old classic, refuse to rule himself out. Because he did. So there you
Radio go. Clyde slipped up. We should have sent Gabs or Andra.
Just press the
buttons. They would have really got it out.
Well, listen, they get to travel everywhere else, so I don't know why we limit them to continental Europe. We maybe will send them over stateside at some point. Thank you, Darren, on the line. We'll be back. More calls, maybe, if we've got time. If you want to squeeze one in, why not? Give it a go. Get in touch. We'll speak to you next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We're fast approaching the end of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. That is still time to squeeze a call in if you so wish. So get cracking quickly though. Not much time to hang about. 0141 951 1025. You can tweet us at Clyde SSB. We've actually got the teaser up and running as well, which of course is the email to contact us, fulltime@clyde1.com. Caffers in Springburn says, can you name 8 Celtic players who were in the Scotland squad for France 98? There are 2 others who played for a different nation, and I'm devastated that he suggested them during the break.
Because I can't believe you've been away for 15 months.
No, it wasn't him. Because if Gordon DL had suggested these on air, we could have had great fun. Are you willing to share with the public who you suggested during the break?
I didn't.
He suggested Craig Bellamy, Welshman Craig Bellamy, who's never Wales ever been to a men's World Cup, or certainly not in recent memory. Also, what age would Craig Bellamy have been in 1998? So, to be fair, he would have been 19.
There you go, a young player. Yeah. I'm coming.
He wasn't at Celtic at that time.
But he's also Welsh, and no. Anyone else?
No. I'll tell you, I'm going to go for a guess. would sit there. Would he be running about that?
Simon Donnelly?
Yeah.
Went.
Oh, well done.
You obviously didn't listen to last night's show, did you?
No, what happened?
So he went, never got on. And he the last game against Morocco, him and Scott Booth, I think he said, and they get called back. He's like, this is it. We got on the World Cup. They put Scott Booth on.
I never got on.
No, never gone. But he went.
Paul Lambert.
Yes. What was your other, your non-Scottish ones? You had someone I did genuinely say, right, keep them for on the show. Because you said during the break, you said Bellamy and Joel Edley, right? Which you just, I cannot stress to you how bad that is.
See if you're talking about Sid, would Phil O'Donnell be there?
No.
No? His partner?
Who were your non, you've got two non-Scots to get.
Is that all we've got to get?
No, you've got one Scot and two non-Scots.
Oh, nothing to go on, Scott.
You did, you suggested some. Oh, never mind.
We'll stick to them.
Again, that, honestly.
What did you see?
That was the one I was trying to tease him in with, honestly. Mikael Lustig, you think went to the World Cup in 98?
No, I didn't.
Do you know how old he was in 98?
What, how old he?
12.
He was there. He's a fan.
He went as a supporter.
I don't even know if Sweden went.
98?
Larson,
no.
Nah, again,
there you go.
No. I would guess, because he was famously in 94, wasn't he?
Are there Sweden there?
No.
Oh, I'm struggling, man. On so Scots, good.
12-year-old Mikael Lustig.
Jonathan Gould.
Yes.
Bro, we always say that a goalie.
He's back in the swing of things now, isn't
yeah.
he?
Not quite yet, guys. I'm on a couple of shows. I thought they beat the pundit and we're good.
Ah, listen, I'll give you that. That's you. Essentially, you've completed it because the eight Celtic players. But let's see if we can get the two non.
Quick countries. Not,
no, oh wait, you've got a few minutes left, yeah. Settle down. Come
I've got
on.
One, I think.
Come on.
I've got the country.
Just the settle country. Down. Listen, I said we can wait, right? We can wait. Anything else tickling your fancy? Anything else you want to get off your chest before the end of the show? Any final thoughts on Scotland? Because it'll be the last time. Kenny, we've got a good wee event. Kenny and I are watching the game.
Plug it.
We're watching the game down at Drygate on Saturday
Might
night.
Come down and join you.
We'll give you a half price ticket for you if you want to come along. No. Me, Kenny, Stephen O'Donnell.
No, I'll get you a comp.
If he's getting into the Masters for nothing, I'm getting into Drygate or whatever it's called.
We'll watch the game with Stephen O'Donnell, Kenny. What's nearly 100 caps between you? You're doing a lot of the heavy lifting. Nah, not quite. We're a few short there.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the weekend. I think with Hampden on Tuesday, we will still have an opportunity to do it.
And well, we need it to be because the three of us,
we're all gone.
We're going to do the show live from Hampden. Yep. I think it's only if we're not going to surely no. produce. We're not going live to Hampden if it's dead in the water. Are we?
Yeah,
if it's dead, no, dead rubber. We're not going.
You wouldn't turn up, would you? Because no. It's too late a night for you. If there's nothing.
And getting away, the traffic does my head.
Imagine how good that's going to be.
I'll wear a kilt on a Thursday.
If it's up for grabs, and we manage to get over
never
the line.
Never wore a kilt in my life. I'll come in with a kilt.
In front of a packed Hampden.
Have you
not?
Never.
You're allowing yourself to get a wee bit excited. But yes, imagine that, a packed Hampden on Tuesday if it goes well.
If we can take it to Tuesday night, it's going to be incredible at Hampden on Tuesday night. You know, the atmosphere, the energy about it. Again, for me, I've just got a feeling that the lads are going to
think so.
Are going to get it done. Yeah. I think they're going to get it done. Whether it be a wee bit of luck or the squad's just in a really good place. I don't think we're in the place we were a few years back, but I think the start this campaign has been a top campaign. Just need to get it to Tuesday night and I fancy us.
Yeah. I know we've been off a couple of games and we come in for a wee bit of criticism, but we still win the games.
Yep.
I think they're two big performances there. Yeah. I really do. I've just got a feeling that we can do it.
Because the nature of it as well, I think it would obviously be quite deflating. We still have a playoff. You kind of just want to
get it done.
Obviously, yeah, obviously. But do you know what I mean? I feel like there would be so much negativity will seep in if it doesn't happen this weekend, and then that kind of like clouds the fact that you've still got a playoff to go down the line. But yeah, let's try and do it at the first time of asking. Is there anything else to note? You think I'm thinking away to Denmark. Steve Clarke surprised everybody. It was a kind of 4-4-2. It probably wasn't, and played the two strikers really hard to beat. Could he do something like that?
No. I think it'll be the 4-2-3-1.
No, but bear in mind, a draw's fine on Saturday. A draw's the same as a win.
I know.
Not for me.
No.
I'm McKenna. I don't think he'll do that. I think he'll stick to 4-2-3-1.
It's good that Shanklin's back in, because if you need a goal in the game, you've got someone who's got goals coming off the bench.
Right, we're nearly out of time, as you can hear. Have you got your two non-Scottish Celtic players who went to France?
I think I've got one. Morten Wieghorst.
Yes.
You said the other one, I think, when I gave you the country.
Is it Mark Reaper or something?
Well done, brilliant.
There you go.
There you go.
Oh, I've played myself.
Great to have you back, Kenny Miller. Hopefully we'll do it again soon after his 15-month, what a wee break he took, whatever he was prancing about, the MLS and whatever, he knows where his bread's buttered. He's back. He's got his priorities back in order. And Gordon DL, good to have him as well. The biggest thanks, as always, does always go to you. Thanks for your calls, your tweets, keeping us company. If you're watching on YouTube and you're enjoying seeing these two, if that's the right word, make sure you subscribe to that YouTube channel. You can get your podcasts wherever you get your podcasts. And back tomorrow from 6 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday.